Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the case where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the Follow button. Ulu members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. When you join the Ulu community, please use the same email that you use when you join Us Lifting Us. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Thurman, who, like me, is a member of Ulu. Our topic for tonight is African news and views. Peace, Brother Thurman. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Sister Q, and I'm doing well. I'm always uplifted to be in the company of our people and you.
It's good to have you here, Brother Thurman. You always bring us very good information, news we could use, so to speak. So, Brother Thurman, what news do you want to share with the family tonight?
Well, there's always news that we can use, and that certainly news that is truly focused on what's going on with us and the good and what is not good, as and everything that comes forth that is not good. We shouldn't spend much time focusing and certainly not dwelling on it, but what we should do is whatever it is that comes forth that's not good is take corrective action. And like I said, whatever that is, if you get physically or mentally ill, we should focus on not being traumatized by the worration of whatever the dis-ease is, but to take corrective action, but especially to do like our ancestors did, because they didn't have a mindset of any other way, and they used the universe as well as what the earth provided, as well as what the mind power provided to heal and get well from anything. And they were not at a loss if you compared, if you took what people that indulge in this medical-minded, pharmaceutical, surgical thing, it would have been a detriment if we could go back in time and take them and take all of this medical, pharmaceutical, surgical stuff and implement that into the lives of the people. It would be a detriment. It wouldn't be an advantage. I'm getting off into something different, but another area. But we've got to recognize, we've got to correct whatever our deficiencies is, you know, if it's, you know, it's about religion, politics, sex, and war, and all of those things. We've got to correct the deficiencies. And so one of the things that I want to start off with in the news is coming out of Africa. And this is some short words by PLO Lumumba, who's staying strong and being for real in what he talks about. And so he says, you look at some African countries, and they have an army with complete five-star generals who have never quelled riots, and they are generals. What he's saying is they're generals, but many of them have not served in any capacity to stop chaotic events amongst the people. And then he goes on to say that your money, talking about any money, taxes or whatever, any kind of fees that the people have to pay, goes into maintaining militaries, maintaining embassies that you don't need. Do you see why Africa is poor? All these 55 countries have embassies. If we were one, there would only be one ambassador of Africa in the United States of America. There would only be one army with regional policing. And he's saying, am I being naive or simplistic? And then he goes on to say, yes, we can create a single Africa with a loose government, a confederal government dealing with foreign affairs, defense, monetary policy, and general policy formulation with different governance systems. This is the only way in which these narrow tribal instincts will be dampened. And what he's offered is a sane and collective solution. One single Africa, you know, and not all of these 55 different perspectives or more about how to live and how to govern. And especially when you talked at the beginning of the conversation about these five-star generals that are raking in a lot of money and have housing, and they're in Europe, and they go to Europe for medical care, we've got to stop that kind of foolishness because it's anti-African. It's anti-African sanity. And so that's why, you know, the title says African News and Views. So mm-hmm. Lumumba is not speaking from some European view of things.
I think that that what you brought up is something that they're thinking about. You said, like, when they have medical issues, they go to, you know, to Europe, or they go, it's like they make their money. They are like the people that come to Africa from Europe and take the resources out of Africa and take it back to Europe. What these generals and these politicians and things do, they take the resources from Africa and take it to Europe. A lot of them have, unnumbered Swiss bank accounts with untold millions of dollars in it that they have stolen from their country people. So they are not to be admired and looked up to, but people are trained to do that. You know, so they see them with this is General so-and-so, and they're proud of him as a good, you know, our Ghanaian general or our Zimbabwean general or our, you know, name the country, our general. But really he doesn't think of himself as one of the people. That's why he is able to be a general and do the things that he does.
Yeah, well, it's all a part of the Europeanization of life and of the mind that we have ingested, and it's detrimental to us, and that's why when I use the term out of our African mind, and we've got mm-hmm. to, you know, reawaken back to our inner self. And one of this short piece in the news, just something in a different direction, but see, everything that will bring about our total freedom, liberation, and our ability to maintain our freedom and to rebuild and build nations again requires that in all areas of life, in all the essential and natural and universal areas of life, we've got to be on the higher side of things, and we've got to think that way. And so among the things, in order for us to do the nation building effectively and build and rebuild and become free and have our own militaries and policing to maintain the security of our freedom and our lands and our resources, we've got to have fit bodies and a calm mind and a house full of love. And these are things that cannot be bought. They must be earned. And we're mm-hmm. dealing with among the good things in the news is all around the world, African sisters and brothers of all ages are reawakening in many, many, many areas, including communities, of our own and cultural centers and all of those things. And there's still a lot of folks that's have been made confused through their programming and miseducation and being dedicated to television and just fantasy stuff and killer cussing movies. And on the righteous side, on the higher side, we've got to get back to having fit bodies so that we can go to work and build our communities, rebuild our communities, grow food and be sustainable. And as the outrageous pricing is going on in grocery stores and other places, when we grow food, as some people say, growing food is like printing your own money. It really is. And I can remember a long, long time ago when I had my first garden, which I have never gardened or grown anything that wasn't organic or using chemical fertilizer or poison. So I have no interest at all of doing such things. And But when I was growing that food, the first time, it was just a delight to my senses that I could go outside and harvest some food that I had planted and I gave good vibes to, and the food did just wonderful, and I was staying free of a store.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is that we are failing when we're not building, doing networking with black farmers that are able to grow a whole lot of food for us. And I remember another case quite a few years ago where a brother was doing something that a lot of black farmers have strived to do if the people would participate, and that is you contribute a set dollar amount in the late winter, ideally, or certainly in the early spring, whatever that might be, whether it was $200 or $300, but that you would get produce from that farmer every week for the whole growing season.
Right.
And I did it with the first time I did it with a black farmer, I was so delighted. He was bringing a bushel, a basket from his certified organic farm every week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such good food. It looked good. And I would leave the place where we met him, and it goes straight to two elders, my mother and her older sister. And generally, when I left the two of them, they were so delighted that there wasn't much for me to take home.
Yeah.
And the other thing that was so uplifting is that the food was so good that I was very disappointed when the growing season ended and I had to go back to the stores that were, the food was nutritionally deficient in terms of its taste and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you grow food from the earth, it improves the nutrients dramatically. It improves the taste dramatically. And a lot of times even the size can be bigger and just look like nature, you know, really did a fantastic job in the combination of nature, you know, the sun, the rain, and the wind, and the birds, and the worms, and all of those things. So we've got to go back to having a fit body so that we can get out and work and grow some food, as well as build houses and all of these essential things. And we've got to relearn, starting with our inner self, how to be full of love. And that's the conversation. And I'm going to read something in a little while about that.
Okay.
And
but speaking of the food, also,
yes.
I think one of the things that we might want to consider is learning to identify food, that wild food, you know,
yes.
the plants that
yes.
are all around us that we could
yes.
eat, so that
yes.
okay, when the growing season for the farmer is finished, then you can harvest your own wild growing stuff
yes.
that
yes.
is still growing around you.
Yes. Yeah, you're so right. And that's why we've got to get busy right now to learn what you're talking about wild foods and wild plants and medicinal mushrooms, which is a very serious subject, because
mm-hmm.
there's mushrooms like lion's mane and cordyceps and shiitake and reishi and some others that some of them are not truly mushrooms. They are fungus, but very beneficial, like the lion's mane helps to regrow cells in the brain and helps brain function or cognitive function.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been people that were medically diagnosed as having a very weakened weakness in their mind. And some of them, got away from that medical madness, as I call it, medical mindedness. And they got into the mushrooms like lion's mane, and they had a dramatic turnaround and a reinvigoration of their mind.
Yeah, but once you start going to the doctor, you're never going to get better, because Well, they don't make money, if, you know. They don't make money if you get better. So,
yeah, so no, I'm done.
Now, I just wanted to throw that right in there. You said, you know, the people stopped using the medicine and started doing the mushrooms or whatever and got better.
Yes. So there's so many things in that direction, you know, when it comes to wellness of our spirit, mind, and body. Another thing is that more and more our people are waking up to is our ancestors' high knowledge and high culture when it comes to spirituality that came way before the books that people think that are ancient. Because if you ask most people what's the oldest book in the world, most of them would give the absolutely wrong, incorrect, based on evidence answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means they've been misled if they give that wrong answer based on their limited study and research. It's kind of like Malcolm said, learn, read some of everything, because you never know when you could use it. So read about some of everything. If Romans is in a religious book, read some of everything. You might stop and think, how did they get there? Because if you go into origins and timeline of things, if you did an origins and timeline search of African people in skeletal remains that's 3 million or so years old, one of them, if you type in the word Lucy, there's no skeletal remains of Europeans 3 million years old. And so, anyway, I want to read this, and this is something that we really need to just give some focus to. Any spiritual teaching that teaches you to love your neighbor before loving yourself is wrong. Any teaching of the Enlightenment that instructs you to love others more than you than yourself is false. How can you love someone if you haven't learned to love yourself first? You know yourself from birth. If you haven't learned to love yourself all along, stop loving everyone and figure out how to love yourself first. Everything else makes sense after that. Worrying about loving others after you love yourself. Stop sending that frequency of need and embrace wholeness of inner fullness and resonate with that vibration. How can you love others correctly if you don't know how to love yourself first? How would you ever know if others love you correctly? And we've got to be very careful about that, knowing if you know love, then you would know if others are loving you correctly. If you don't know how to properly love yourself first, love for anything else is secondary to loving yourself. It's secondary to loving yourself. If you want others to love you as you love yourself, show them that self-love. Show them that self-love comes first. Fill yourself with love and then share the excess with creation. I'm done with that.
That's a very interesting piece, Brother Thurman, because as you were saying that, show other people how to love you, I think that's what we do anyway. However, if what you're showing people, you teach people how to treat you. That's the statement you did. That's what you just were saying. People will love you based on you showing them how you expect to be loved. If you have no love for yourself, that will be reflected, and people will treat you in that way. And you tend to get angry at people for treating you poorly, but they're only treating you the way you taught them to treat you. So
yes, sister.
You can't really be upset with them for the way they treat you. You think, like I used to hear this statement, if you don't want people to treat you like a doormat, stop laying on the floor. So
yes,
that's basically what it boils down to.
Yes, and what you said in the last few minutes is extremely powerful, and I say extremely powerful. I could come up with some better words than that to say. But most African people don't realize that because of you speaking about our vibration when we're on our higher self and highest self, it mm-hmm. affects other beings, including Europeans that otherwise would, be hateful towards us. And there's Africans mm-hmm. that know that because they have experimented with the difference in when they're vibrating in a high level and a loving level, they can just go out mm-hmm. amongst other people, including Europeans, and don't even say anything. And it's just they have researched it and studied it and how they come forward with a much more powerful, respectful, polite mannerism towards us mm-hmm. when we are glowing in our higher spiritual self and our Africanness from a spiritual perspective, spiritual power. Mm-hmm. The ancestors knew about something called silent power, which means you've got a whole lot of power and you don't have to say anything. But the beings on the planet, the trees, the animals, the dogs, the bears, and whatever, they realize that. So we've got to really get busier to get more in tune, starting with our inner being and network. And so we could, if you had a scale to measure how people treat us as African people, and if tomorrow mm-hmm. we were on a high spiritual vibration just for ourselves, not to mm-hmm. for somebody else, but for ourselves, and we represented that, if you had mm-hmm. a meter, the meter of dislike or hate or whatever you want to class it, or anger towards mm-hmm. us, would start to decrease.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's ways that things can be done that you can minimize problems.
Mm-hmm. You know, what you're saying makes me think of a situation that I experienced. I used to live in a place where to get to work, I took two buses and a light rail. So I got off on one bus and got on the next bus. And at the second bus stop, there was a bench. And one morning I got off the first bus, there was a woman, a pale-skinned woman, sitting on the bench. And I went and I sat down. And she got up and she went and stood under the tree. So the next day when I came, she saw me get off the bus, and she didn't hesitate. She got up and went and stood under the tree, and I went to the bench, and I sat down. And this happened for a few times. You know, she see me coming, she get up, she go stand under the tree, and so I could sit down. So I was telling somebody about that, and it occurred to me, she recognized something in me that she knew she should not be sitting on the bench with me. She needed to get out of my area. She understood that, and she got out. Other people would say she was racist and she didn't want to sit next to me. It's not always racism. If you're vibrating like you need to be, the energy is so high that they got to move. And so that's what I took her action as. My energy field was such that she could not be comfortable in it. She had to get out, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think we have been beat down so much and accused everything of being against us that we don't recognize when people are honoring us. And we classify it as being insulted. Something we need to learn.
Yeah, we've got to get to our higher self, and we will have a quite different experience with the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, that. I want to go to something else, and that is the subject of freedom. And to give some definition, freedom is a right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint, absence or without absence of with absence of domination. And in the seven principles of Kwanzaa, one of them is Kuji Chakalia, self-determination, to define ourselves, to name ourselves, to create for ourselves and speak for ourselves. And we've got to learn to be free within and teach others about the essential of freedom, starting within. So we talked about love. So this is talking about starting within. So it's just like the subject of love. It's so much that could improve our relationship when we got clarity about how to go about that subject. And on the subject of freedom, when we've got clarity of how we've got to go back, there's some essentials of freedom. And there's such, you know, if you use, for example, the term freedom road, on the road to freedom, there's a lot of things that we're going to encounter, including one of the things about freedom, it ain't free. And so if we, so for example, if tomorrow, a group of us, all of us is on the airways tonight, went to Africa or somewhere like that. They had a huge, huge, huge piece of land, and we were just there with nature and free of others and free of noise and pollution and cars and airplanes and all of that stuff. You still ain't all free because you still would need to be growing food so that you could survive and stay there and build your community. But you're not, it's always a challenge to the freedom because when you grow food, nature is going to come after you. Bugs is going to come after your food. Animals, small and large, in Africa, including elephants, will come after you. And so you've got to be able to keep the invaders from dominating your food crop. And at the same, and also, we've got to always be wary when we gain freedom. We've got to maintain the freedom, including maintain it with our military, with our security, and with our self-defense against the two-legged invaders that also come to try to take away our freedom. So we've got to be strong enough and fit spiritually, mentally, physically, and nutritionally to keep them from taking our freedom away again. And we have a choice when it comes to freedom. We can take freedom road, which is the road to freedom, or we can stay in this chaos and follow the road of chaos. And your lifestyle, a person's, our people in particular, our lifestyle defines your choice. Because if you choose freedom, that's what you would be focusing on every day. That's what you would talk about. That's what you would advocate. That's what you'd be working on. You'd be working on growing food. If you choose the chaos road of this European chaos road of violence and killing and cussing and destruction, your lifestyle, it shows. If we choose the chaotic road of capitalism, the lifestyle of our people shows when they consume up fake eyelashes and fake hair and fake a lot of things and just straight up anti-African ways of life, unspiritual ways, unnatural ways, and all of those things. And we've got the choice that we're going to choose freedom, to take our freedom, because it's not going to be openly given to us, to take our freedom, to make our freedom and build it and maintain it. Or we got the choice to stay on the chaotic road where we raise up babies that have been, had their minds and bodies contaminated, polluted from birth or before. We've got the choice to get on the road where we put a stop to that. We put a stop to having our babies injected with poison and even to even go to others when it comes to the whole birthing process. We've got to get back to the freedom that we used to have where we were the ones. And another thing that's important, the freedom road requires realizing we already have the freedom to be free in our spirit mind in spite of the programmed, confused minds around us. And what I'm saying there, to say it again or say it differently, is we have the ability to, in our spirit mind, to be free in our thinking every day. Mm-hmm. And yes, there's chaos around us, but we have a totally different experience if we go forth with that spirit mind freedom, and spirituality is which is part of that. And we would have a different experience in terms of how others and other beings act or react around us and how we react when it comes to being around them.
Right. You know, Brother Sermon, there's this thing they call creating your day. And
yes,
what
yes.
you're saying about being free is when you get up in the morning, you know, if I was perfectly free or if I was totally free, what would my day be like? And walk that day to day. And you may have, you know, you may have missteps along the way, but over time, you create a totally free being, a totally free life for yourself.
Yeah, well, that's...
Sun Ra, I met someone who used to work with Sun Ra, and he said that Sun Ra's position was that people keep saying they want to be free. They want to be free. And he said, you don't have the discipline to be free. Because, you know, we think that freedom is just, you know, laissez-faire, do what you want, blah, blah, blah. But Sun Ra's position was, freedom requires discipline. And this
yes,
guy said that Sun Ra was the freest person he ever met, but he was also the most disciplined. So that's something that, you know, we don't think of in turn. We don't think of discipline as having anything to do with freedom.
Thank you for that. That's extremely powerful that you brought forth Sun Ra talking about discipline, because that's why that goes right along with what I had said earlier about we could dramatically reduce the chaos, the chaotic behaviors of others based on where our spirit mind is. And what you talk about in terms of every day to have that mental outlook, you have a much more joyous, uplifting day and have more people coming to you with joy. And so it's a mindset. So it's just like the people historically, and certainly sisters and brothers, that get up and go to their garden and look at it, smile at it, sing to it, touch it. The flowers grow, the plants grow dramatically better, more. And the same thing when it comes to the mothers and fathers, but certainly the mothers that just come to their baby and just smile and love it and hug it and rub on it and massage its back and all of those things, the baby has a much better, is well on another level. And so we got this opportunity that we must take to go down Freedom Road and stay on that road to achieve our goals and our liberation spiritually, mentally, physically, nutritionally, and economically out of the capitalistic system. Or we've got to put a stop to the miseducation and the duping of our people that would have them to stay involved in constant chaos, a life of promoting, celebrating an evil, chaotic lifestyle and teaching the babies from birth or before to follow that same road and pass that chaos to the next generation. We got to put a stop to that. Ishaka Musa, ancestor, Brother Ishaka Musa Barashango taught us, we cannot free our minds and bodies while faithfully reproducing the values of European culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything that rolls around on the calendar that's of European culture, we spend a lot of energy, lip service, money, and buying more trinkets. We can't free ourselves faithfully reproducing the values of European culture. We have a rich, rich, rich culture, the first in the world, the first educational systems that others, the invaders, learn from us how to read and write, how to pray and meditate and all of those things in math and science. And so we've got to come back to the greatness that's still in us. Every time a mother gives birth, if you ask most people, how many black geniuses do you know? A lot of folks would hesitate. But the reality is, in general, almost, I can't say all because I don't know, but almost all black babies that are born, if one is born 1 minute from now, came out of the womb geniuses, ready to be nothing but a genius. And they got their mind and their body contaminated by this chaotic, foul, corrupt system. And we've got to get on the road to freedom that requires that it requires everything that's a part of our life.
You know, the children being born geniuses, I was listening to a video the other day, and the man was talking about the birthing process itself. And he said that, you know, now most women have their babies in the hospital, and immediately the baby is born, they cut the cord.
Mm-hmm.
He said that should not happen.
Mm-hmm.
He said what should happen is the baby comes out of the birth canal, it should be placed on the mother's chest.
Mm-hmm.
And allowed to hear the mother's heartbeat again, because for so long, so they re-entrain the heartbeat, but the placenta and the cord should not be cut. It should, after a while, the cord will stop pulsing or pumping blood, because it's right after birth, it's continuing to pump blood. And when the placenta is ready and the cord is ready, the cord will break off and the placenta will come off like that. But what he said was, by cutting the cord, you take away the oxygen to the brain. And so you are destroyed. So that when you said about the geniuses, that's the first step toward destroying the genius, making the brain not function as it was intended. We have a lot to relearn, because we have alternatives that are based on the allopathic model, and we do the exact same thing they do. So what's the point? We're still doing damage.
So we can't take European models and reproduce it as if we're going to have a sane life. We've got to have our own models. We already had it. We were the ones that brought civilization to the world. And one of the things that I want to just make sure that I mention, because it's a real, real vast and deep subject, and it's very disturbing to me all the time. I mean, it doesn't never go away from me, and among other things. And the question is, can we achieve freedom while participating in polluting our surroundings, the planet, and the universe? And when I say our surroundings, the planet, and the universe, the surroundings, the entire ecosystem of this planet, the entire ecosystem of the universe is being constantly polluted every day, in the air, with space junk. There's thousands of space junk floating around out there in space. And there are companies competing that's planning on shooting and firing thousands more pieces into the universe. And the creators, by whatever name that anybody ever talked about, never meant for that to happen. There's things that's being done to interfere with the sun every day. Look at the lines in the sky and watch the sky be a sunny day starting off, and it gets dulled over. And it's been done purposefully, intentionally. We've got to object to that, so we've got to break free of this system. And so when it comes to our participation, it's just like our liberation requires our participation. But if we are participating in polluting the planet in whatever way, with bottles and trash, and we're okay with it. So we are okay with using anything. So we addicted to trinkets. So buying all of these trinkets. A trinket would be a dryer sheet that they put in the laundry, a toxic dryer sheet. A few years ago, I came across some information that says the dryer sheets in the grocery store, because they outgas such toxic gas that it actually has been traced and found that food in the grocery store is contaminated with the gas from the dryer sheets, and that ain't the only thing. So in survival, yes.
I want to just stick something right in there about the dryer sheets. There are people who will tell you to take this dryer sheet and rub it on your skin or whatever as an insect repellent, particularly mosquitoes. And a woman was talking about that, and she said, now think about that for a minute. A mosquito needs your blood to live, and they would rather die than, you know, feed on a place where those dryer sheets are or where dryer sheet has been. So what is it in that dryer sheet that you're putting on your body or on your clothes? Because if you're putting your clothes in the dryer, if you put it on your clothes, it's being absorbed into your skin anyway. So
It is.
That's something to think about.
Yeah, and something else along that line of pollutants and poison in the household. In this subject of survival, we as African people must get back in touch with the land, and you talked about wild plants earlier. And so there's people that's called preppers, and they're preparing for survival off the land, and they're prepping, and they're storing up water and food and guns and money and stuff like that and a lot of stuff. And they bringing forth ideas about how to save up stuff, including, you know, natural things and wild plants that you could use to keep the mosquitoes from biting you so severely or to heal the bite if they do bite you. But one of the things that I found interesting that a prepper mentioned just recently, the subject that he was dealing with was about water and storing water, including in 5-gallon and 55-gallon containers. And he asked a question that most people never have thought about, and that is, what is the shelf life of water? Well, most containers that you put it in, it ain't got a shelf life of forever.
Right.
I mean, it might stay in a jar or a container or a plastic barrel for 50 years, but, you know, shelf life, it could have mold in it, you know, 5 years from now, 2 years from now, depending. But the other thing that was related to contamination, he said, you take your stored water and store it in a laundry room, store it in a garage around chemicals, laundry chemicals, and gasoline in a sealed container, a sealed bucket, sealed 55-gallon drum, plastic drum. He was stressing, make sure that it's food grade, number one, to maximize the shelf life. And a lot of folks got stuff in drums that ain't food grade or buckets that ain't food grade. But also to think that you've got water sealed up, and this could include food included, sealed up. And yet, if they took it to a lab, if you stored it around household chemicals, including gasoline, it could be contaminated without you opening it with these chemicalized things that the Creator didn't put here. And so The question is, are we willing to get on the freedom road and stop participating? And how many people have ever thought about what I'm getting ready to say? How many would want to participate in having land where there was no poison, no plastic, no trash? Meaning, so suppose it was 50 acres, 100 acres, 1,000 acres that you could just walk and walk any day or evening through all of this, and you see all kinds of wild plants, wild crafted plants, and chaga mushrooms on birch trees and things like that, and walnut trees and cherry trees and comfrey plants and on, but you wouldn't see no trash. Well, we used to have a planet like that. But there's mm-hmm. a huge bunch of people that's got land, and a whole bunch of them, you couldn't walk that land and not find trash, plastic bottles, broken glass, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that that will stir up some thinking in people's minds, because I find it offensive, the amount of trash that people are putting on land. I have known some people to, take a big backhoe and dig a big hole on their land and bury it with household trash, including cans and things like that. But it's more of it going on than most people realize, because a lot of people, they're not in touch with the land. I mean, there's people that's got land. They just live there. They're not growing food, and they're not paying attention to the ecosystem. But we've got to preserve and protect and nurture Mother Earth, because Mother Earth always was there to serve us. So it's like mm-hmm. the wisdom that I read a few times in the last couple of weeks today was that a river is not there to serve itself. The sun is not there to serve itself. All of those things, all of Mother Earth's goodness, running creeks and springs and sunshine and wind and seeds and butterflies and bees, they're there to serve us. And what are we here for? We're here to serve them in ways that we never thought about. It's just like there's people that will tell you that the trees are waiting for us to die. Because when we do, we fall down just like a tree falls down in the forest. But when it dies, there's organisms and microbes and earthworms and things that's going to eat on it, and mushrooms that's going to grow out of that that will nourish you. And so when we fall down in nature like we're really supposed to be, in nature is where we're supposed to fall down when we physically in this body die. But the trees and everything will benefit. If yesterday I fell down among some trees in the forest, there's things around that's going to benefit tremendously by me being there, and it enriches the soil. So that's why when you go out in the forest, if you were to dig down under the leaves, the soil is dark. But you go to a commercial farmland, and it ain't dark like that, because it's not rich in organic matter. So I hope, family members, that it made some sense about who would want to participate in having some land where there was no poison, no plastic, no trash. So a big thing right now in the gardening is landscape fabric. And what's it made of? Some chemicalized plastic, which creates by the billions micro plastic particles. It's all over the planet now. It's even in the woman's placenta and in their babies. And it ain't no joke. It ain't no plaything. And as people say, man, I ain't giving up my landscape fabric because I don't want to be weeding. But it's a lot to learn, and there's alternatives to weeding. You know, you can plant and use mulch like grass clippings and leaves and even straw and hay to mulch your plants once they get up to the size, 8 to 10 inches tall, which would put you in a position where you don't have to be weeding for very little. So little that you could just pull it up by your hand. You didn't have to every week or so get a hoe and be weeding like our folks used to do on the plantations.
You know, speaking of the mulch and the rich soil, used to be that you would you know, when in the fall when the leaves fell, you would just leave them on the ground and they would decay and come, and they would make your rich soil. Now what happens is people rake up the leaves, put them in a plastic bag or some kind of bag, set them out for somebody to come and get them. And these people take the leaves and process them or do whatever they do with it and sell it back to you as soil or they sell it back to you. You could have just left it on the ground and let it do its own thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's
cut
out the middleman. So,
and a lot of the people Well, that's why we've got to talk about some of everything. And one of the things that we're badly in need of every day is to have cultural centers of our own where we can come and talk as black as we want, as much as we want. But we would share stuff that otherwise we wouldn't know. We've got to network. Mm-hmm. We've got to have our own cultural centers where we can come and talk deeper about what we've talked about tonight. One of the things I want to read as we close out, and this is some words, short words from our ancestor brother, Credo Mutwa in South Africa. It's the tale of the two. There are two groups of black folk in existence within the black community. One group desires total freedom, freedom to teach our truth, freedom to set up spiritual and financial institutions to ensure our growth, freedom to acquire land can have control of, freedom to control television networks that would allow our youth to see their imagery in a far more positive light. Then there's the other group whose only desire is to hold the whip for the white folks. And so the question, family, is which road do you want? Freedom road or the road of chaos and cruelty and foolishness and being duped to where you would be so such low levels of self-esteem and out of your African mind that you would want to hold the whip? We got the opportunity to break free, raise up our vibration, get that land, grow food, and go forth as powerfully divine, healthy, fit body, ready to go out and work in the garden and on the farm tomorrow. We got the opportunity today to plant that seed in our mind and pass it on to others. And the word is, those who know must teach. And so everything we learn, pass it on to somebody else. If you learn about the love and finding the love within yourself, pass it on to somebody else so that they would know love. And along the way, we've got to consider that when it comes to the love thing, it's a process. But there are groups of people that they don't have a tremendous amount of love for all of their group. But one of the things that they got that's working for them is they've got a lot of loyalty for group security. And so they come together with group security and band together and do horror to us. And out of loyalty, some of them learn to love each other. And so if we were on the battlefield, and just like the brothers doing the Unjust Vietnam War, they developed a loyalty, and they did the dap with each other every day. So it was loyalty. But that loyalty led to deeper relationships, and it turned to love.
Gotcha.
So I got to see brothers. I got to witness brothers that when it came to their time to leave or if they died, and other brothers that just it shocked them. They didn't know what to say to their self, you know, when they started crying over the love for another brother.
Mm-hmm.
It's already in us. We got to nurture it.
For sure.
So get on the freedom road, people, and stay on it in all subject areas and be powerfully divine and protected and do for self and create our own sustainable way of living again as we did before the invaders came to this planet.
Thank you for that, Brother Thurman. As usual, you bring a lot of information for us to digest and think about. We want to thank everyone that joined us this evening. And
one other thing real quick, Sister Q.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Can I offer something to the family?
Sure.
Look up this brother, Dr. Ray Higgins with the African Village in St. Louis, Missouri. He's a talented in many things, including composing music. He's a singer. He's a music, plays music, piano, organ, and things like that. But he's got this song, very good for the mind, good for the spirit. And the song, the short beginning of it is, the African in me loves the African in you. And when we come together, there ain't nothing we can't do. Cause you easy. Yes, you easy. Easy to love. I'm done.
You know, I can close out the program and you could sing the song to take us out. Anyway, we wanted to thank everyone for joining us this evening. Join us again next Thursday evening, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, for another installment of Dare to Win.
Peace.
I wonder if you